This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
There's only one. There's only one pod in the Motor City that's keeping you up to date on everything Detroit sports. This is the Daily Ticket with your host, Jeff Rieger.
What's going on, everybody? Hi, it's another episode of the Daily Ticket. It's here, opening day 2024. You know, all the years past, like the last 5 years or so, Tigers have gotten off to really shitty starts in April. That could change this month. Now, I know it's only March, late March, but still, you get my gist. Like, that could change. Have you seen the Tiger schedule? Like, they got the White Sox stink. The A's stink. The Mets stink. Pittsburgh stinks. Kansas City stinks. Like, it's a very winnable month of, I guess, late March, early and throughout April. And maybe the Tigers get off to a nice start. Here's what I wanted to do. I'll give you the over-unders in Las Vegas. I'm curious how many wins you think the Tigers get. I can't stop thinking about it. I got to share with you why I'm underwhelmed going into this season. So we'll do that as well. But before anything, opening day kicks ass, does it not? Like, I know I came on here last week and I told you how much I love the NCAA tournament. That doesn't change. Today's such a kick-ass day. Tigers open up their season in Chicago. The Wings play at Carolina in a must-win game. Washington's in Toronto. They're going to try to win and go 4 points up on the Wings, potentially. And then the NCAA tournament resumes. This is a fabulous day. Just an unreal day. And I hope you enjoy every bit of it. But here's the deal. There's nothing quite like opening day. Everybody has that favorite opening day memory. I actually had a pretty nice streak from, I want to say, my freshman year in high school until probably, I'd say 15 years. I went to every Tigers opening day. I saw some really bad stuff. I saw some really good stuff. I don't know what the Tigers did in those games. They were usually a bad baseball team. I was even willing, because I love baseball, to go to opening day in 1994, when they had the strike. I was going to go see scab players. I know you might think less of me for admitting that, but it's true. I just wanted to see baseball. We wait forever for baseball, kind of similar to the wait that we have for football, right? But I remember one opening day at the old Tiger Stadium. They were taking on the Cleveland Indians before they changed their name to the Guardians. I kid you not, there must have been a fan each inning that ran on the field. There was like 13 fans that ran on the field. If you Google it, you can actually see the write-up about it. It was one of the more amazing opening days I've ever been to. Now, the Tigers got their ass kicked that day, if I remember correctly. But still, it was amazing. Always cool when a fan runs on the field. Like, back then, it was a night in jail, I think, the punishment. Now, I'm sure it's a heck of a lot more. I remember one opening day where Dimitri Young, they called him the meat hook. Hit three homers. That was 2005. I was a member of the media back then. The following year, Tigers went all the way to the World Series, fired Alan Trammell. Jim Leland came in. Opening day is the best, especially in Detroit. Without a doubt, a holiday. Everybody gets hammered if you're of legal drinking age. My favorite thing about opening day is leaving opening day and just looking around downtown Detroit and everybody's hammered. you see people vomiting in the streets. It's like a rite of passage. It's a beautiful thing. Opening day kicks ass. And this year, it's a week from tomorrow. But the Tigers are on the road today. 4:15 first pitch. Tarek Skubal on the bump. I'm very excited. I can't wait. And it's a winnable game. Like, if I give you the pitcher that the Tigers are going against later on today, you're not going to recognize who he is. It's Garrett Crockett, or maybe Crochet. This is year number 4 with the White Sox. He's never started a game before. He's a spot starter. I've never seen anything like it, to tell you the truth. Like, they traded away Dylan Cease, their best pitcher. So Chicago's going to be a shit show this year. There's no question about it. However, I've never seen, I don't think at least, unless there was a rain delay and then somebody takes over because the starter couldn't pitch because it was too long of a time in between the rain delay and when they actually played baseball. But I've never seen an opening day starter that was a reliever. He's going to go, what, 2 innings? It's going to be a bullpen day for Chicago later on today against Tarek Skubal, who could win the Cy Young. Will he win the Cy Young? I don't know. But he should be a very good pitcher. But if you look at the over-unders for the Tigers, according to various websites, they'll tell you anywhere from 80.5 to 81.5. Now, if you look at the over-under for the Minnesota Twins, the team that is believed to win the AL Central, they'll tell you their over-under win total is 86.5. So the Tigers, essentially, according to the experts in Sin City and elsewhere, are going to be about 5 games short. 5 games short of the Minnesota Twins in a very winnable division. And I'm excited that it's baseball season, but I cannot hide my feeling of being underwhelmed as well. Because I don't think the Tigers did enough in the offseason. Like, not at all. And I think I've bitched about this. I've harped about this before. I think you know my feelings on this. But there were guys that were available that could help Detroit in a winnable division, and Scott Harris and Jeff Greenberg and the Tigers brass decided not to go after any of them. And it still rubs me the wrong way. Some people think I'm a moron. Other people totally agree with me. I wonder where you're at in this argument. But I'll give you a couple examples. Like, I want to give you the depth chart for the Tigers. Have you seen their third base situation? It's a horror show. Here's their third baseman: Zach McKinstry, Andy Ibañez, Matt Vierling, Gio Urshela. And it's not the Gio Urshela from 5 years ago when he was like an MVP candidate for the Yankees. Oh no, he's no longer the same dude. That's why you got the guy for $1.5 million. There was a guy out there that I harped on. Tigers didn't want him. Matt Chapman. Scott Boras' client wanted the world in return. Ended up getting a 3-year deal worth $54 million with an opt-out after every year. I think it goes $18 million, then $16 million, then $14 million. You're telling me he couldn't help the Tigers? Offensively, he's got pop. Last year was his worst year. Still hit 17 bombs. 2 years before that, 27 homers and 27 homers back-to-back years. Not to mention, he's an all-star gold glove third baseman. Could have got him for nothing. Pennies on the dollar. Scott Boras did his clients no favors because the market wasn't going to pay these guys a ton of money. And it's essentially a 1-year contract because there's opt-outs after every year. And Matt Chapman's going to want to get the hell out of San Francisco where he's at and make more money at age 31. My point is, instead of having the craziness that you're going to have at third base, the flexibility, they're going to call it, I call it craziness, because all those guys combined are not even a positive war, I don't believe. Matt Chapman was a 4-war player. Kind of feel you screwed up a little bit. I don't think the Tigers are interested in winning the division. They should be. I think they're interested in continuing to develop their prospects, and they got the long-term view on their minds rather than, hey, let's go win the division. But I'll give you another example. I'll give you another example that really annoys the crap out of me. Kerry Carpenter could be a very good baseball player. But if you look at his last 34 games last year, did not hit a single homer. Meanwhile, there was a guy on the market that the Tigers could have went out and got, decided not to. J.D. Martinez, remember him? Could have been your everyday DH. Now, they're going to tell you we want our DH to be flexible. We want to do different DHs depending on who the starting pitcher of the other side is. We want to go matchups. We're not looking for one DH. J.D. Martinez went to the Mets 1 year, $12 million. 31 homers last year, over a 900 OPS. You don't got a guy like that. Could have had a guy like that for a one-year deal. Minimal risk involved. If it doesn't work out, it's 1 year, then he's off the books. Scott Harris, Jeff Greenberg, the Detroit Tigers, not interested. Cody Bellinger was another name. Got nowhere near the money he wanted. Signed back with the Cubs. Another deal like Chapman. Opt-outs everywhere. Why not make a play for him? I don't understand why the Tigers, when they know offense is their weakness, they were 28th in baseball last year. I don't get why they didn't go out and try to get better. So, yes, it's annoying to me. The other guy that people will bring up, and the Tigers had a chance to get him, is Wyatt Langford. Wyatt Langford is going to make his MLB debut later today on national TV at the DH spot. Wyatt Langford went fourth in the 2022 draft. You took Max Clark third. Now, maybe it was a signability issue, but Max Clark, high schooler, not going to see him for 2 to 3 more years. Wyatt Langford, stud, protege.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Future Hall of Famer? Maybe that's too strong. Mike Valeni gave me this list, and this blows me away. Wyatt Langford joins a very impressive group for least amount of games played in the minors before getting the promotion to the bigs. Wyatt Langford joins Bo Jackson, Ozzie Smith, Dave Winfield, Paul Molitor, Will Clark, and John Olerud. Some of those guys are Hall of Famers. The others are really damn good. My point is, you could have drafted the college kid. Instead, you drafted the high school kid. Why? I don't know. But you put Wyatt Langford in this offense? A kid, by the way, if you're not sure if he's going to be any good, then why would the Rangers put him on their team? The Rangers are coming off a World Series, and they're going to let him hit cleanup in his major league debut at the DH spot. Like, again, another guy that you passed on, and instead you drafted somebody else. I'm not saying Scott Harris can't do the job. We don't know anything. He's very early in his regime. And I'm very excited that it's opening day. I swear to God, I'm very excited. But man, I'm just underwhelmed. Because if this team struggles offensively, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be very pissed. Because there were solutions that the Tigers didn't want to go out and get. Like on Friday, tomorrow, I am deeming it Matt Chapman Day. Apparently, the MLB ticket, if that's what you call it, like where you stream all the Major League Baseball games, it's free on Friday. I think Detroit should band together on Friday. Tigers don't play tomorrow. And at 9:45, watch Giants and Padres. Matt Chapman makes his debut, and I'm going to be tweeting about it. I'm going to live tweet it. Every great play at third base, every homer that he hits. I'm very upset. Very underwhelmed. I'm curious where you're at. Do you have the Tigers going over 81.5 or under? Furthermore, how good can this team be? And do you share my feeling of being underwhelmed? And that's, by the way, even before we get to Javier Baez, because I read you the third base situation, shortstop even scarier. Here's your options just short. Gio Urshela, Zach McKinstry, and Javier Baez. Oh, wow. Now, to be fair, Baez went back-to-back doubles in two games in the spring. So he ended up hitting like 160 for the spring. So maybe he's ready to go in Chicago. He usually plays well in Chicago. Of course, played for the Cubs, does well against the White Sox. So I wouldn't be shocked if Javi has a decent game today. So let me know what you think in the comment section. In the meantime, let me read some comments, and then I'm going to allow you to get on with your opening day, people. So yesterday's podcast was all about Brad Holmes speaking at the owners' meeting in Orlando, Florida. I called it Brad Holmes answers five burning Lions questions at the NFL owners' meetings. Talked about the secondary, and he's good with it currently. Talked about the belief that his D-line will be able to get to the quarterback. Talked about why bring on so many injury-prone players. Talked about he believes this is his best free agent period since being in Detroit. Here is some of the comments. Hermar, 3656. Everyone has been injured, bro. Not many players haven't. I brought up the injury history. And by the way, Herma, 3656, that was Brad Holmes' response. He said the exact same thing. You play 17 games a year. It's a violent game. More than likely, you're going to get injured. King Derwin says, at this point, I think we have to trust that Brad is doing the best for the team. I would agree. Who says he's not? Although maybe I spoke too soon. This one comes from YouTube, not iTube. I have to be honest. I was a lot more excited about our free agency moves last year, but look how that panned out. It really didn't on the defensive side. Massive disappointment. This year, I'm kind of the opposite. Not really impressed with free agent moves, but hopefully the result will be the opposite of last year and we'll have a smothering defense. I got one more comment for you. How about this one? Jacob Beleva, 1454. Not hard to call it the best free agency when the past ones have been ass. All right. Succinct. Right to the point. That's going to do it for the Daily Ticket, everybody. I like to say happy opening day. Tigers go over or under the 81.5 win total. What do you think? Are you as underwhelmed as I am with what they did offensively? Hell, maybe it's a good omen. Usually when I'm upset about something, it turns out to go the opposite way. So maybe the Tigers will just crush teams offensively. Maybe they'll be Murderers Row, the 1927 Yankees. We can help. All right. That's going to do it for the Daily Ticket. We'll catch you tomorrow. Tomorrow, we give you the result of Tiger baseball. Enjoy the games, everybody. Red Wings, huge. NCAA tournament, back. And the Tigers open up the season. Will they be 1-0 or 0-1? I think 1-0. I think they win. Tarek Skubal on the bump. Catch you tomorrow. Have a great opening day. See ya.